We're in that section. If you'd like to go to kids' worship, you are welcome to go. Love that. To our online crew, we've been having some tech issues. I know many of you are reporting. We're sad about that. I don't know that there is something that we can do, like there's no button for us to press, or that we are having tech issues and internet issues today. And so what I'm going to invite those of us here in the sanctuary to do is just to pray. You know, prayer is never a bad thing, and it may seem odd to pray against tech issues, but we trust that God is at work and that God wants the message of the gospel, which is always what we want to be talking about, to get out. And so we're going to pray just for a few minutes here. So I invite you to join me. We're going to pray against those tech issues, and that our online crew can join us so that they can hear the word of God as well. Let's pray together. God, in unsettling times, when things aren't going right, whether that's with tech issues or with a variety of other things, we know that our best option is to trust in you. We know that you are victorious. Like Jake was saying, the 21st chapter of Revelation is an image of the city, the new Jerusalem that comes down, and how everything is made right. And we know we're not there yet. But for this time that we're not there, that you have not yet returned, God, we pray for your victory to still come. And it seems kind of small and to pray for victory over tech issues so that those participating with us online can join us. But God, we pray for that. We ask for you to help, because we know that this is important, that people want to be a part of our community, that people want to hear your message. And so God, we pray against tech issues. We pray that the Wi-Fi would work. We pray that sound would work. We pray that the connection would be smooth. And most importantly, we pray that people would connect to you. God, help our online crew hear you. Help us hear you. Help me hear you and hear what you are doing in our lives and in our world. We ask this in the holy, powerful, and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, when I was in second or third grade, somewhere around there, I don't remember the specific year. I don't remember the teacher, which I'm piecing together. This might be a part of this experience. But when I was in second or third grade, we went to the zoo. And that was not an unusual thing for me. Like, my parents took me to the zoo all the time. The Oklahoma City Zoo, I loved it, because as soon as you walked in, there was a harpy eagle, and there was a bald eagle, and then straight after that on your left was the reptile house. I loved the reptile house. Nathan, are you with me?
Yeah.
Reptile houses? Yeah? Is that your jam?
Yeah.
I like it. And I got distracted looking at one of those snakes. We went straight into this reptile house. It was the first thing on our visit. And there were Komodo dragons and anacondas. And I even saw a cobra like flare its hood up one time. It was the coolest experience. Glad there was like 2-inch plexiglass between us, though. It was a spitting cobra. That could have been bad. But I got mesmerized with one particular exhibit, this one right here, the tentacled snake. Yeah, you got some recognition? Nathan knows what it is. But this tentacled snake, in the Oklahoma City Zoo at least, they had an enclosure like this. This is it out of water. It's got like two little whiskers on it. But the picture here on the left, that was kind of like the enclosure. It was hard to spot because there was a bunch of like plants holding. It was always to see, could you spot the snake in the enclosure? It was not it's maybe 2 foot wide, a foot deep, a foot tall. It was not a big enclosure. I always wanted to make sure I could find every animal, and this one eluded me. And so I intently stared and stared and stared until I looked up and everyone from my class was gone. No clue how long ago they left. They all got to move on, and they all got to see, the red pandas afterwards, which is actually my favorite animal. I didn't get to see the red pandas after that. But I had to go get to the waiting area, wait to be claimed, because I got lost. In the zoo, in the reptile house, it was not my worst day ever by any means. But I got lost. Today we are talking about some people that also got lost, that lost their way at a variety of points. So we are going to be in our last Sunday of this Exodus series that we're in. We've been in this Exodus Finding the Way series, and this is our last Sunday in it. We're going to see what God has to say. So I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 19. If you want to flip there in your phones or on your Bible, on your phones, reverse that. And Rick, I'm going to let you control the two slides for back there. But let's read Exodus 19. I'm going to be in verses 1 through 6. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." In these verses, God tells the people of Israel through Moses, but he tells the people of Israel, you know, what the deal's going to be. God has pulled them out of Egypt, has removed them from a terrible and horrible situation. And now God is setting up the ground rules. He's setting up kind of the parameters for the relationship. He says, "Obey me and keep my covenant. You will be my own special treasure. If you do what I'm telling you to, things will go better. Things will work out well. Things will do what I tell you to." I expected to see some nodding parent heads there. I'm a little bit surprised I didn't. But this is the God of the universe, Almighty God, saying, if you would just do this, things will be better. And what's your guess as to what Israel does? Rebels, what was that, Lauren?
Lost their GPS.
Yeah. They make mistake after mistake. They go off the rails. So many mistakes, so many flubs, so many errors that God says, you know what, you guys are not going to be going to the promised land. Your kids, but really, guys, come on. You're not going to be going to the promised land. They messed up big time and they got lost. I think it's really easy for us here and now to look down on them. You know, if we would have done life so much, we would have listened to God and gone straight to the promised land, and everything would have been fine. And I'm not so sure about that. I think if we were in the people of Israel's shoes, in this group of people that had just experienced crazy situations from their horrible time in Egypt as slaves, being on the run from the Egyptian army, They had endured trauma, they had barely escaped, and now they just felt lost. Oh, there it is. They just felt lost. And I just want to affirm that we don't usually use this word of lost very often in society. You know, sometimes it's that GPS kind of reference, right? It's where are you at? You are lost. It's not very often that we go someplace these days where the GPS can't find us, though I have been there. There's a place right outside of where Arizona, Nevada, and California meet. There is nothing for miles, and the signal is not. But it seems like that's so few and far in between these days, but it doesn't always mean physically lost. We often, especially for us in the church, we use this word lost to refer to how to people, and sometimes it feels like, I don't know if it's just me, but this word has kind of come out of use in the Christian vocabulary because we talk more about right and wrong. You know, people that are wrong these days, and if people agree with if people don't agree with me, they're clearly wrong, and that's helpful because I can divide people into categories of people that are wrong, and I'm not convinced that's the best way of looking at people. Because if we are honest, I think we can all play in this person's position, in the people of the Israelites' shoes, as people that are lost. Whether that is the traditional Christian meaning of the word, of people that don't know Jesus, there are many, many people in our world that do not know Jesus, that don't know the love of our Savior. But I think even those of us that are Christians, we can feel lost too. I look around this room and I think about the people that are hopefully joining us online, but I think about how some of us might feel lost. Some of us might feel like things have been upended. The things that used to work before don't work now. That things are, you're just not sure where to go, what to do next. There's a lot of uncertainty in the air. There are days where I feel unsteady, where I feel unsteady yourself. I just want you to know there is mercy, there is grace, there is love in the arms of Jesus our Lord. At either right or wrong, we miss seeing how people are lost. We miss seeing how people are broken. Friend of mine that he goes through a crisis cycle about every 3 months or so, and we have a conversation then. And if when he's in crises, if I say, you know what, this is your own fault. You made this dumb decision, and that's caused this to happen, and that's terrible. That's sometimes true. That's the decision that he made. But if I don't say those kind of things, I instead try and look at him and see a broken person who is hurt and who needs God's love. I see the hurt of a broken man and I want healing for him. I think that's the attitude that is not me saying that there is not right and wrong. There is right and there is wrong. People can be lost. We can view them with love and grace and mercy, and they can still be doing bad, even terrible things. That actually happens later in the story. In Numbers chapter, I think it's 16. Yeah, Numbers 16. Named Korah, who incites a against Moses. And not just Moses, but also God too. The people that God is using to lead the nation of Israel, Korah incites a rebellion against them, trying to go against the people and against God. God responded, and it did not go well for Korah or for those that followed him. There is right and there is wrong. But seeing people as broken first, seeing people that feel like they are lost, if we see them, I think we can see more clearly. I think that's how Jesus sees. The people of Israel, they got lost time and time again. I mean, you can flip from where we are in Exodus 19 and you can just go through the pages and you can see their mistakes. I mean, they ran away from so many times. It is one of the most consistent things in the Old Testament. Israel is just running away. They build a golden calf. They disobey what God says about the quail and the manna. They make mistakes in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Daniel, in Kings. All the prophets are filled with the people of Israel going back, breaking what God said, doing the opposite thing, being lost. And even the patriarchs, Adam and Eve, the very first people, even they had a covenant with God. They were told to not don't do the one thing. And they did it. There's a bit of human nature, I think, for us to learn there. The history of humanity is twofold. It is human beings that have made bad decisions, that have been hurt, plain lost in some way. And then there is the story of our God that searches for them and finds them. That is the story of humanity right there. People that are lost and a God that looks after and that finds us and that brings us home. In Exodus, we see this people that God takes out of Egypt, but that also that people time after time again. And God doesn't, you know, throw up his hands and say, you know what, I'm just done with you. There are a couple of that make it sound like that. Through Exodus in this season. Anyone take me up?
I've done myself. I'm in good company. That's okay.
But I'm close. Those last few chapters talking about ephods and tabernacle measurements, they're a bit to get through. I recognize it.
But the story of people in Exodus is
this frustrating story of where the people didn't
God brought them, and then they turned their backs,
they ran, and they got lost. But instead of leaving them that way, instead of leaving them lost, instead of just, you know what, forget you, our God is not a God that does that. God is a God who finds people and brings them back along the way. The image I just put up there, this is the story of Adam and Eve. This was one of the paintings that I found. And the very first human beings that lost their way, Adam and Eve were in the garden. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God went looking for them. That God was a God that searched after them, that didn't just, you know, stand by the wayside, that God went looking for them to find them. And throughout the centuries, no matter what the people of Israel did, God is constantly trying to turn them back to the right way, constantly trying to help them not be lost, but be found instead. One of Jesus's, and this leads all the way up to Jesus, one of Jesus's most famous parables is in Luke 15. It's the story of the lost sheep, right? Luke 15:3. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Others in the wilderness and go to search for until he finds it. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep."
Our God is a God that wants to find us, that doesn't want us to be that is lost without Jesus, or us not knowing what to do, feeling like we're flailing on our own. Whether you feel lost because you're not sure what's going to happen next, whether you feel uncertain, or whether you have never connected with God, wherever you are at in this spiritual journey, our God wants you to be found. Our God doesn't want you to feel like you're on your own. God sees you and God loves you. You are invited to connect with God and to be found even more. And before we go any further, before we move to what's next, I just want to give us an opportunity. When I was putting the finishing touches on this sermon, Caitlin and I were praying over it, and we felt that this was going to connect with somebody today. And I don't know why or how or what, but I just want to spend some time and ask us to pray. I know we've prayed, what is this, 3 times today? That is okay. We trust that God can handle us praying to Him, that this connection is good. But I just want to invite us to pray. To pray, and if you are somebody who has felt lost, whether it's not being close to Jesus, not following Jesus, whether it is something else going on in your life, I want to invite you to pray this along with me. You don't have to pray out loud. You can if you want. But I'm going to pray and just ask for God to help us connect. So let's pray together. God, you are a God who finds us. You are a God that searches. We're told of so many stories in the Bible where people turned their back on you and you went and you found them out. Whether it's Adam and Eve, whether it's the people of Israel, Jonah, there are just so many stories, God, where you seek people. And we're mindful that that is not just something that happened in the past, but that is something for here and now too, that you are seeking people today. God, if we pray and we confess that we sometimes feel lost, whether it's that we don't know you, we don't have a relationship with you, whether it's that we don't know what to do next, we want to come and we want to confess how we feel lost, how we have not always lived up to what you asked us to, how we have fallen by the wayside, we've sinned and are in need of forgiveness. And God, we pray and we ask that you would give us that forgiveness and that you would show us the way. God, we believe in your Son, Jesus. We know that he died on the cross for us, and we know that he shows us the path to eternal life by who he is. God, we believe. Help us to not be lost, but to be found people. Help us to connect to you in our dire straits, and most of all, Lord, help us connect to you so that your kingdom can come and we can see you. We can see your workings fully here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this all, God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're someone who is feeling lost in some way today, if that was meaningful for you, I invite you, connect with me at some point this week. I'll make the time, I promise you. If you're somebody who wants to connect physically, if you just want to make a phone call or connect online, however, I'm willing. But know that our God loves you, forgives you, is merciful, is gracious, and wants you to not be lost, but to be found. Next week we are we're switching gears a little bit. We're going to go from talking about the people of Israel in Exodus. This is kind of the start of the people of Israel story, where we don't refer to, you know, just one family, but it's the people of Israel. We go from here, and we're actually going to the end of the Jesus story. Jesus' final week in Jerusalem. We didn't get to celebrate Easter this year like we normally do. And that's okay. There were things going on. That was a bit of a bummer. You've heard that our kids are going to have an Easter egg hunt. That they wanted to do that. It's not quite going to be Easter in October, but we're going to look at the time around what's commonly called Holy Week. This time where it's Jesus's last week before the crucifixion and resurrection. And so I'm going to invite you to watch a quick video that one of our members made for this. Let me just cue this up. Danny Maxson made that video. She is good at what she does, right?
Yeah.
Starting next week, we're going to dive into Jesus's last week, this Easter week, because I think as we dive deeper and deeper into Holy Week, we're going to see the same God that we saw in Exodus, a God that loves us, a God that wants to save, and a God that searches for people and takes them from lost to found. So, we'll see you back next week. Let me give the benediction real quick. May you go this week knowing that our God wants you to be found. That no matter how lost you feel, you are never lost from our Father. May you feel connected, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and may you know that you are found. Go in peace. Have a blessed week.